Hello, my name is Marlene, host of Vegan Nation. You're tuned in to WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester Community Radio, serving Central Massachusetts and worldwide at WCUW.org.
Vegan Nation is sponsored in part by St. Croix Beach Massage, advocating social justice for all living creatures. Massage on the beach, at your rental villa, or at the historic Club Comanche Hotel St. Croix, because your tropical vacation should be filled with relaxation. Online at massagestcroix.com.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Today, we're celebrating with Joanne Kong of the Humane Party, centered ethically in raising awareness that greater compassion for animals and our planet is vitally necessary for transformative growth and positive world change. Joanne has received wide praise for her TEDx talk on veganism, the power of plant-based eating. It is included in Unbound Project, a multimedia and book project that celebrates inspiring women who have been at the forefront of animal advocacy around the globe. Her new book is titled, If You've Ever Loved an Animal, Go Vegan. We'll be discussing her vegan tour in India. In addition to her animal and environmental advocacy work, Joanne Kong is a critically acclaimed and award-winning classical pianist and chamber musician, and empowers individuals from all walks of life through her lectures and workshops on performance anxiety. She is a music professor at the University of Richmond. Joanne is excited to be part of the Humane Party. Joanne feels that the collective efforts of this group, the Humane Party, and that of vegan advocates around the world have come at an intensively critical time in our society. To Joanne, veganism has the most powerful potential to truly change the world and embrace what is to her the most important quality of humanity, compassion. We'll be discussing in great detail Joanne's recent trip to India on a vegan tour. This is Marlene Arrow, host of Vegan Nation. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. And it is a great honor that Dr. Joanne Kong from the University of Richmond, Virginia, is joining us via Skype.
Hello.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi. How are you, Marlene?
Good. How are you doing?
Fine. I'm so glad it all worked out.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Did you get any of that bad weather that came up through New England?
Oh, yes. We got, like, I think 10 inches of snow at least anyway.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's been a rough winter.
Yeah.
I am so impressed with you overall with everything, and then to think of your busy schedule and how you handle it all.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm doing everything that I love to do, my music and advocating for animals, and I love traveling, so I'm so glad to have the chance to speak with you again.
Well, I am so excited to be speaking with you. Oh, I follow you on your social media, and you are all over, not just the country, but all over the world.
Yes, I enjoy visiting other cultures and seeing how veganism is just growing all around the world. It's really one of the most significant social movements and environmental movements that's happening, and it's so necessary. So I become inspired from seeing all of the activism happening all around the world.
Well, that's great. And speaking of that, let's start with talking about your trip to India.
Yes, this took place last summer between July 31st and August 18th, and I visited 10 cities, and they were mostly in the western and southwestern part of the country, and the cities were Mangalore, Goa, Coimbatore, Hyderabad, Pune, Ahmedabad, Surat, Mumbai, Bangalore, and Bindor. And it was just a tremendous trip. And I do want to mention that the organizer of the trip, his name is Shankar Narayan, and he had organized a trip to different cities, although I think we had a couple of cities that overlapped. But he organized a similar trip for Will Tuttle in 2017. And it's great to see how people you know, the advocates I meet on my journeys and at conferences, how we're all traveling all over the place doing the same thing. So it was just a tremendous trip, and it was my first visit to India.
Well, that's exciting to hear, and they can't be anything better than spreading the vegan message throughout India.
That's right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, so speaking of that, could you please describe some of the activities that you took part in?
Yes. So as you know, I'm also a musician, so I did kind of a mixture of things. Sometimes I did music performances, like at the Bangalore School of Music, where I gave a piano recital. In Coimbatore and Mangalore, I did combined playing of music and speaking about veganism, because to me, those two activities, music and speaking about compassion, they are so connected, right? It's about spreading beauty throughout the world and reaching out to people and communicating and sharing yourself with others. And of course, they say that music is the international language. So I had some of those activities. I also gave basic presentations on veganism. I also led a few group discussions, and those were, to me, the most valuable parts of the trip, because I would introduce a topic and invite members who attended, and we all sat in a circle, to share their ideas about what was important to them, why they have gone to plant-based nutrition and some of the challenges, and just to share ideas. And that was so important for those people who attended who are new to veganism. So I really got a lot out of those group discussions. I also visited in Surat an international school and spoke with, gosh, it must have been about 50 to 60 elementary school children about animals and compassion, and that was so much fun. And also did just a lot of newspaper, radio, and website interviews. So it was a packed 3 weeks, and it was just really inspirational to me, and I hope that I helped to get the message across.
Wonderful. Thank you, Joanne. Will you please talk a little bit about vegetarianism? Because a lot of people confuse vegetarianism with veganism, which are two entirely different things. And also, if you could please describe the production of dairy products in India.
Right. So a lot of people still are not totally clear on the difference between the two. And generally, when one is a vegetarian, they abstain from eating meat, although they still consume eggs and dairy. Whereas vegans, who for the most part, I believe, are drawn to that food choice for ethical reasons, we do not consume any kind of animal meat or animal products, including eggs and dairy. And then that also extends to use of other animal products, whether that's, you know, with clothing, animals in research, consuming honey, using wool or silk. So that's kind of the general difference between the two. Now, India is rather unique. India has the highest percentage of vegetarians in the world, and that's about 38% of the population, and that's a lot of people. India has a population of about 1.2 billion people, so almost half a billion of those people are vegetarian. So throughout my travels, I saw a lot of these restaurants that would have a sign outside that says pure veg, V-E-G, which means an all-vegetarian restaurant. But even when going into these restaurants, we did still have to make clear to the waiters, you probably have this experience too, to explain what vegan is as opposed to vegetarian. So while a lot of Indians know what vegetarianism is, they are just really starting to learn and embrace the concept of veganism.
What would you describe that growth of veganism in India?
I really was so inspired. I would say there's two basic areas of activity that I'm aware of and experienced. One is the tremendous movement among youth. There were two activists in particular. One is a young woman. She's only 18. Her name is Shweta Borgankor, and she lives in Pune. And she is tremendous. She's constantly, we're Facebook friends, organizing activities to advocate for animals, whether it's a direct action everywhere, activity, holding demonstrations, being out on the streets, talking to people about animals. She actually helped organize the talk that I did there, and she is absolutely tremendous. And her father is amazing, too, because he's driving her around and helping her with all of the organizational details and that kind of thing. And it was such a wonderful coincidence. Last year I spoke at the Oakland Veg Fest, and Shveta happened to be traveling throughout the United States and was in California. So she was actually at my Oakland talk and came up afterwards and said, "Oh, I'm going to be seeing you in India." So isn't that a remarkable coincidence?
Wow.
Yeah. And then there was another wonderful young man. His name is Abe Rangan. And he and his mother, Vena, founded a company called Vegan Ark, that's A-R-K-E, which is producing plant-based milk products under the name Good Milk. And milk is spelled M-Y-L-K. And his company actually recently received close to $500,000 from an American investor. So his company is really going to make a big difference in getting plant-based milks out there. India is just starting to see the plant-based food market, especially in terms of milk. But with the activism and entrepreneurship of young people like Abe, it's really going to be taking off. So it was just really inspiring to meet these young people. And then I know that you, in one of your past shows, did you interview Darshana?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So there's the Vegan India movement, which has almost 40 cities in kind of an umbrella organization taking part in activism. And I met Darshana in Pune, and she is just such a model for everyone. She's a graceful person. She works so hard and speaks with such dedication and love for animals. It's just really, really amazing. And then I met an older activist. His name is Anand Silva, and he is a little bit more direct in his activism. He purposely goes to places that are the most challenging, where people don't want to accept veganism, or they don't understand what it is. So I was just seeing, you know, so much activity and wanting to spread the message that veganism really does tie in with the philosophy, the Eastern idea of ahimsa, nonviolence, to do no harm. And that even though milk and the dairy industry, which, you know, India is the world's top dairy producer, even though dairy still predominates, we are starting to see the tide turn. PCRM, which, as you know, is the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine, they are actually now sending teams of doctors and nutritionists to various Indian hospitals to encourage them to serve plant-based meals to their patients, and just to, you know, spread the word about how healthy it is to go plant-based and why it makes a difference in terms of ethics and spirituality and just the core of our lifestyle.
Oh, that's fabulous to hear about PCRM as well as the young vegan activists.
Right.
What are some of the other activist activities that are taking place in the country?
There's direct action everywhere, DXE, that's happening. Anonymous for the Voiceless, you're familiar with them, of course.
Yes.
They are also doing activist activities. There's a lot of awareness being spread through all vegan restaurants that are cropping up all over the country. One of the primary organizers for my visits in Mangalore and Bangalore was a woman by the name of Giselle Mehta, and it was her daughter, Tamara, I don't know if you remember from a past conversation, who was a student here at my college in Virginia. And by knowing her, I came to know Giselle. And Giselle helped organize a lot of my activities. And she helped to found the first all-vegan restaurant in India, and this was 5 years ago. The restaurant is called Carrots, and now there's over 100 all-vegan restaurants. So a lot of people are enjoying and realizing the benefits of plant-based eating, and it's really starting to spread throughout India.
Oh, good news. We're listening to Dr. Joanne Kong via Skype at the University of Richmond in Virginia. Joanne Kong is a vegan activist, environmentalist, renowned classical pianist, and music professor. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll continue our conversation with Dr. Joanne Kong.
You are listening to WCUW 91.3 Community Radio, Worcester, serving you and the byways of the world. Smart radio programmed by real people.
Welcome back from the break. You tuned in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. We're joined by Dr. Joanne Kong. We're hearing her piano music throughout the show, as well as the harpsichord with Joanne. Before the break, we also heard the piano music of Will Tuttle, the cow song. Dr. Joanne Kong has been praised throughout the country as one of the most compelling advocates for plant-based nutrition today, centered ethically in raising awareness that greater compassion for animals and our planet is vitally necessary for transformative growth and positive world change. In addition to her animal and environmental advocacy work, Joanne is a critically acclaimed and award-winning classical pianist and chamber musician, and empowers individuals from all walks of life through her lectures and workshops on performance anxiety. Her new book is titled, If You've Ever Loved an Animal, Go Vegan. We've been discussing in great detail Joanne's recent trip to India on a vegan tour. What type of the vegan milks are they serving? Almond, soy, rice, cashew?
Yeah, all of them.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're all starting to be available, which is wonderful.
As well as the vegan yogurt?
I didn't see as much of the vegan yogurt. At one of the talks I gave, there was vegan ice cream, which had just been developed by a company. So India's behind us in terms of those plant-based products, but they're definitely growing.
That's great to hear. Yes, it's really necessary. And speaking of why it is important for veganism, not vegetarianism, can you describe some of the production of dairy products in India?
As I mentioned, India is the world's top dairy producer. It actually, one way to put it into perspective, it tops the milk output of all the EU countries combined. And it also leads the world in the export of beef and has a substantial veal industry. And people really point out how this huge export of beef is to sustain the huge dairy industry. In essence, the animals, they're being raised to sustain the huge dairy industry. So actually, more than half of the milk comes from the water buffalo, or sometimes there's a combination of cow and buffalo milk. So of course, these cows and buffaloes, they go through the same cruel fate as the cows in Western countries. And everywhere I went, people were talking about some of the worst things they do, like injecting the cows with a drug called oxytocin. And this creates severe, painful contractions similar to labor, which supposedly is supposed to increase milk production. So it's just really heartbreaking to see what's being done. And in India, even though, now India has about 29 states, and all but two of them actually have regulations that prohibit either the slaughter or sale of cows, but a lot of these cows wind up being shipped by the millions to other states or even other countries where it is legal to slaughter them. So there's a lot of this illegal trade and slaughter of cows, and there are 4,000 legal slaughterhouses, but over 100,000 illegal slaughterhouses. So it's just sad to realize everything that's happening. And before I left for the trip, I was reading about the experience of Ingrid Newkirk, who of course is president of PETA. And did you know she actually grew up in New Delhi when she was a teen?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, she spent some of her preteen years in New Delhi because her father was stationed there. And she talks about how there would be these caravans of cattle that are forced to go to Kerala, that's a state where they do slaughter cows. And, you know, the animals are beaten, they're not allowed to rest or drink. Sometimes they rub hot chili peppers into their eyes. And once they arrive, they're often killed by blows to the head. I mean, it's just horrendous, this mistreatment of the animals. There was one day I was in Bangalore and drove by this corner of two main streets, and it was this huge animal market. So people were bringing their cows and goats and sheep to sell. And a lot of the animals were just being beaten. I mean, it was just so cruel. Yeah, it was a sad thing to see.
It is sad. And as we know, it's not just India. It's every kind of country in the world.
And
there's no way to regulate it. It needs to be animal liberation. It needs to be the property status of animals needs to be abolished.
Right.
It's impossible to achieve cultural transformation and social harmony
within
a paradigm of normalized violence. And so any use of animals is that paradigm. Yeah. That's why I'm so thrilled with your work, Joanne, because I know that you are very powerful, very influential, and very important in veganizing this planet, which is the start to heaven on earth.
Right, that's right. I mean, sometimes, you know, when I'm around other vegan advocates, I become very, very inspired. But then there, I'm sure you have these days, too, where you experience and see how animals are treated, and you just realize, you know, just what a tragedy it is, this cruelty that doesn't need to happen. And yet society as a whole is just, you know, they're just blind to it.
Yes, and I think that Claire Mann, the vegan psychologist in Australia, has really hit the nail on the head with Vistopia.
Mm-hmm.
And this cultural trance of 90%+ of the population being in denial. And it's tough to deal with because it's just cycles and cycles and cycles of suffering. And here's a solution that is the start. So again, thanks to you, Joanne. And it is exciting that the vegan movement is growing in every country.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And also all over the United States. So I'd like to hear about your recent talks and also your upcoming ones.
I spoke at a festival in Connecticut called Compassion Fest. Are you familiar with that? It's in Camden.
Yes.
Pretty close to New Haven. And that's organized by Tabitha Logan. That was a tremendous festival. I also spoke at Sedona Veg Fest in Arizona, which, have you been to Sedona? It's the most
beautiful
place
in the world. Yes, I have.
Yeah. And a couple colleges I've spoken at recently include New York University, University of Virginia, and the College of William and Mary. I'm also, in a couple weeks, coming up to New England to talk to Quinsigamond Community College in Worcester and University of Pennsylvania. Then later in the spring, I'm speaking at the Cincinnati Veg Fest, the Sarasota Veg Fest, the Red and Green Veg Fest in Albuquerque, the Summer Fest later in, I believe, July. And then in August, I'm going to Berlin in Germany to speak at the Veganist Sommerfest, which is apparently one of the largest vegan fests in Europe. And Berlin is supposed to be an amazing city in terms of just veganism exploding. So I'm really looking forward to traveling to Germany.
Yes, I heard that too about Berlin. I'd like to let our listeners know that you can hear Dr. Joanne Kong at Quinsigamond Community College this Saturday, March 9th. And it's hosted by the Students for the Ethical Treatment of Animals. And Joanne's talk is titled The Power of Veganism at the Harrington Learning Center, rooms 109 A and B at Quinsigamond Community College, starting at 11 a.m.
When I talk to the college students, I typically cover a lot of the different aspects, you know, whether it's the environmental benefits of going vegan, the health benefits, and also the aspects of compassion and how animals must be seen as our equals.
Yes, and Joanne, I really like how you really highlight compassion, because that's it. That's what veganism is,
right,
is compassion.
Right.
And also your link to sustainability. And Dr. Mm-hmm. Salish Rao in Arizona,
yes,
of Climate
right.
Healers, I like he has a sentence, and it brings it all together, that sustainability is not possible in a paradigm of normalized violence, which is a carnist culture,
right,
and that in order
right.
to have sustainability, we need to co-create the new paradigm of normalized nonviolence, which is veganism.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, Salish Rao was actually at the Sedona Veg Fest, and
oh.
I had Skyped with him one time earlier, so it was great that he was actually there and I could meet him in person. And Will Tuttle was there as well.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, so it was great to meet them and continue to be inspired by all the work that they do.
Well, I love how you combine your music and sustainability and compassion with veganism in such a beautiful, graceful way, Joanne.
Oh, well, thank you. And I really want to thank you for what you do. I mean, you know, for people to listen to your program and to see how veganism really shapes our lives in very deep and fundamental ways. And it's about all of us connecting to our inner core, to our compassion itself. And it's truly what we need to do to change the world. And you're helping to do that so much. And I thank you for that.
Oh, thank you, Joanne. And I'd like to ask you about vegan eating with all your travels, because I hear some people say that that's a challenge. And here you are, the vegan queen all over the world. So let's hear it.
Well, there's Happy Cow, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Happy Cow is so helpful, but it's really not that difficult.
Indeed. And Joanne, we're coming to a close in the interview. Do you have any additional messages that you'd like to leave with our listeners?
Well, just to keep on changing the world, you know, because all of us vegans out there, we're serving as models of, it's not that we're superior to anyone else. We're connecting, like I said, connecting our sense of self, our strength of self, with our compassionate natures. And through our thoughts and our actions, we have the power and the capability to shape the world, to bring more love into the world.
Yes, and I would like to ask you how you explain why the educational system is still ignoring veganism.
Right.
Where's the disconnect in the educational system?
Yeah, I mean, sadly, I think part of human nature is such that things have to get really, really bad before people then decide, okay, we really do need to make this change. So hopefully things will get better.
And I believe they will, especially with you in the lead, Dr. Joanne Kong. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Marlene.
And thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation. You're greatly appreciated.
Thank you.
Is there any contact information that you'd like to leave, and especially your fabulous website?
Oh, yeah. My website is vegansmakeadifference.com. And I want to mention that part of the website is called Stories, where I have essays written by vegans and how veganism has changed their lives. And Marlene, you've provided a beautiful story. So I invite any of my vegan listeners out there to contact me via the website if you'd like to share your story and a couple photos, and I'll include them on the website. Thank you so much, Marlene.
Thank you, Joanne. Okay, take care.
Okay, you too.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, in Massachusetts. Please visit Joanne's website, vegansmakeadifference.com. You'll learn more about her trip to Norway with vegan activism, as well as her upcoming trip this month to Italy. Please join us again next week at this time, and you can hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Signing off, Molly Narrow in Massachusetts. Thanks again for tuning in to Vegan Nation.
Safe and free. Just be happy, safe and free.
Let's go out with a song by Miriam Shero.
We hear you, we are vegan. We are here for you because we're vegan. We fight for you, we are vegan. We care about you because we're vegan.